Well, greetings to each one of you, and especially those that I haven't greeted in person. This has just been a blessing already. And you know, one of the most precious things to me is just the fellowship. And I see it, and I've experienced it, and we look forward to more of it. The messages, no doubt, are good, and we'll learn. But there's just something here, and it's pressed on me right now just to come together in that and share in that. You know, there's a lie from Satan. Well, it's part of human psychology at its shallowest amount. And then it's supported by selfishness and a type of self-centeredness. But Satan's below it all. And he wants to separate us and make you think in your seat that you're not even worthy to be here. And every time my brother speaks, you think, I can't do anything like that. We've heard we can't. It's only by him. And so we just want to open that up between us, and for you younger ones especially, share in that. Share your weak feelings. Realize that older ones up here still even feel those kind of things. We're not adequate. That's a lie. God wants to bring truth into our lives. Of course there's sharper minds among us. Of course there's smoother tongues and all these things. But God has a ministry for each one of us. And he's called us to that, and he will equip us. And it's a different ministry. We'll get into that here. But I just want us to really draw together as our brother encouraged us and hear from one another and speak to one another. Confess our faults that we might be healed. Confess our weakness. Confess our doubts that we might be healed. Looking forward to the rest of the weekend together, or the week together. We've been asked to talk on preparation and preaching. We chose this sheer cliff because that's sometimes how it feels, doesn't it? Like that's what's in front of you and it's insurmountable. And it is without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and his power. But I want you to look up here. There's bright blue sky and you can attain the heights. We can by his power, by his strength. Thinking of our weaknesses, when I first received this call this past winter, it was a dark winter night, and we were sitting, my wife Dixie and I, in the living room, and the call came, and she asked me afterwards who it was. It was one of these brethren that called and asked me to speak, and then she asked the subject, and I told her this subject, and she tried really hard, but she couldn't get her hand fast enough to her mouth to wonder why, of all these brethren, I was chosen, and I feel the same way. But again, we'll just share in our weakness. We can share together. I'm looking forward to this afternoon when we can share in small groups, learn together, in a panel discussion with all. So just to learn a little bit more about preparation of preaching. I want to say on the onset, above all, we want God to have his way with each one of us. You know, we'll share some tips, maybe some things we've learned, but that's just me and how God has taught me how to preach, how much to study, how long. All these questions, they're valid questions, but we should ask God first before others. Let God teach us these things. You may be disappointed. I think you will. I don't have a lot of information as far as the specifics of preaching, but God does. He has everything we need. And will equip us in that. I don't want this to be a personal testimony, but inherently it kind of is because I'm preaching from my experience, speaking and teaching from my experience. But as Paul said to the Corinthians, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Each one of us want to find ourselves there. I've got a theme verse here that came to me as I was looking into this, looking at the word preaching, and this comes from the life of Jonah, as we all know the story well. But he was called specifically to a certain place, and we all know what happened. He didn't go, did he? He didn't follow that calling. He went on his own strength, and he went a different way. He found himself in a tight situation, didn't he? In the belly of a whale. But God called him a second time after he was saved from that. He got his attention. And he said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, this is our ministry, go into Nineveh, that great city. And these are the words I want for each one of us to hear. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Again, calling from God, even specifics from God, it may be a little different in your ministry. We all have a little different ministry, though we're called very similarly. So we want to come back to this a few times, but preach the preaching that God bids you. There are some words in Exodus that are very similar. I guess we've already went over these this morning, so we won't even really do it. But all of us have felt slow of speech, slow of tongue, as we've already mentioned. Sheldon mentioned this morning. But God will teach thee what thou shalt say. We're going to give all glory there. The real source of any blessing, of any direction, of any teaching in ministry. It's so important to follow Jesus. Yes, learn from one another. Let's learn this week. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Another verse that is special to me in this, and I think we can all just rest in this. Peace be still as we go forward. That Paul, the great preacher, said, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want that excellency of speech too often. Why? Because I want to impress others, possibly. It's a focus on self and not on Jesus Christ or wisdom. May it all be his and his glory. But I was with you. We feel these things. Each one of us do, no doubt. They're biblical. Embrace them. Realize we can't do it out of ourselves, as we've already heard. But I was in you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My wife sometimes asks me why my hands still shake when I grab the water glass. After all this time, it seems like it shouldn't. I'm glad it still does. I want to be before him in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, taking up the word of God. Not with enticing words. It's not about the words. But in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. That's what we pray for today. That's what we pray for every day and every message that'll go forth from each one of you. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that power comes from where? Our theme verse, all power is given unto Jesus. In heaven and earth, and so there in that power we can go and teach all nations, etc. We need to keep moving quickly as well. Here's a little phrase we came up with for our outline, 4 points. If you look on the right side, they've asked us to talk a little bit about the plural ministry as we understand it somewhat uniquely. In an Anabaptist setting, there's other ministry teams too in other churches, don't get me wrong, but we want to talk a bit about a little bit how we experience that. I want to make a caveat here. I've got a lot of information that Brother Rod has already shared. I should have looked at his synopsis and not just mine. But really, I don't apologize. Because that, to me, we can come up with the greatest outline or the best words or a message that just flows together. But if we're not prepared, if we're not attached to the vine, if we're not submitted to the Holy Spirit, there's only so much value in learning together of how to put a message together or what kind of sources to use. So we're going to go quickly through that. That'll allow us to go a little quick there. But I think that's where we all want to learn, to become more attached to the vine and grow and learn from him. And then the message, sermon preparation, and then sermon delivery. So if you look on the left side, I've just used these words. As we think of all of us together, called to the ministry, yes, individual congregations, but in the same fellowship, that the word could go out from us unitedly, and we could learn from one another and strengthen and encourage one another unitedly. Prepare the message, his message, and then to deliver. We're not called just to take that in, but we're called to bring that forth in public preaching and to deliver. Unitedly prepare the message to deliver. First of all, the plural ministry. Use this photo because I want each of us back to where we started our thoughts to bloom where you're planted. Again, you aren't created like another. Your ministry isn't going to be exactly like another. You're in a different location. You're maybe in a smaller congregation like Sheldon talked this morning or called with a larger servant body or whatever it is, but you have an individual calling. Bloom where you're planted. Every single one of you have a little different calling Don't try to be something you're not. Too often I've looked up to someone I admire or someone who seems to be able to put together messages well or speak well in a certain way, and I've tried to mimic that. It's not our calling. Yes, we want to learn from one another, but we're called to be who God has called us to be. And it's wise for us, as Corinthians says, not to compare ourselves among ourselves. It's difficult to maintain. As we appreciate each one of your ministries, and as I look and think of the blessing I've received from each one of you that I don't even think I can hold a candle to. But that's not our focus. Our focus is Jesus Christ. I remember distinctly one time after a few years in the ministry, there was, I don't know, I think 7 to 9 of us in Ohio in the same year elected, or maybe 1 or 2 years together. And it was enjoyable. You know, there's nothing like relating with people that have gone through the same thing. That's biblical. So we'd get together and relate. But I remember one brother, we were sharing our experience, and one brother said, well, I have to be done with my study by Thursday morning because I just don't feel complete if it's not done by Thursday morning. I just put a lid on it, kind of meditate the rest of the week, and then I'm prepared for Sunday morning. And I looked across the room at another minister's wife, and the blood just drained out of her face. She went white because, as we learned in her experience and their experience, they kind of lost their husband on Thursday morning for the rest of the week. And we can talk about that, but that's a reality. It's a reality I experienced as a little child growing up, and that grew and that developed, thankfully. And then we want to encourage in the family ministries first, but not everybody has the same abilities. Not wise to compare. We can't always change who we are. We need to allow God to work in our lives, to change those weaknesses, to strengthen us in certain areas. But you know, there's some parts of us that are just personalities, and in some ways, God will direct you in this, but we need to embrace who we are and then what he's called us to do and respond in that. Plural blessing is such a ministry, or such a blessing, working as a team, encouragement together, mentoring, accountability, but it can also be a crutch. I'm so thankful for the calling together, but a crutch to pass the buck, or someone else is taking care. I'm thinking of pastoral care now. Someone else is taking care of that need. What if we all gave the same care as what these single ministers that are called in different churches around? What if we all thought that was our responsibility? How much greater could our effect together be? We won't read these, but we're familiar with Romans and the differing gifts. That's not only individual gifts. Yes, there are some that are fit these categories, but even in our own ministry, in our own lives, there's fractions of these that are different. And someone is a little better teacher, but he still does well in administration or whatever it is. So there's different callings. We've already heard this. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, etc. But it's till we all come together. That's the beauty of the plural ministry. It's the beauty of the congregation, that we're not looking, comparing ourselves among ourselves, but we are looking for that fullness of Christ that comes from all of us living together for him and growing in him. Along with this plural ministry, they ask us to talk on this challenging subject. The art of preferring. It's definitely an art, no doubt. We find that's their words. We find this in preaching. This is a tough one for me. I'll just acknowledge that, especially for us in Ohio. I know we're a small fraction, and a lot of you in other places know what's happening, but we literally go to church on off Sundays, most off Sundays, or some at least, with a 50-50 chance of knowing whether you'll speak or even open or whatever it is. And so you want to be prepared. And it's not my personality, but it's good for my personality because it works against us, and we always need to be prepared. But what do you do when there's brethren there, and who's going to speak? Well, we all want the Holy Spirit to direct and prompt, and truly that's where we want to leave this, really. But here it is, I want to walk in humility, and I truly feel that I would rather any of these brothers stand up and speak. But sometimes there's a calling for me. How do we work through this? Yes, we want the Holy Spirit. But at annual conference, we experience it all together. They've helped some things with minimizing the number that are asked to possibly speak to five. And thankfully, it doesn't go as long as it used to. This art of preferring took a little time in that location to work together. But let's not let it wane. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's centered on the humility that Christ teaches for us to walk in. And so I think if we follow the biblical injunction of preferring those that are older, but give them preference to decline. So if we'll prefer our older ones, but give them the preference to decline, and if you older brethren, or we older brethren, wherever I'm at, will engage in that quickly, and many of you do that well, and just let us know, or let the younger ones know that today I'm not going to. I'm not feeling the unction, or I've been here soon before, whatever it is, then the younger ones can feel to take initiative there. It's kind of like akin to a potluck or a carry-in meal and prayer there. I've always thought of this with our children. They need to respect us, but we need to respect them. And when it's the prayer's finished and we know we want to prefer the older ones through the line, but older ones, take your place quickly so we can respect them. They want to stand there, but if they stand there and see an empty line forever, it doesn't put good feelings in their heart. Just a little application for that in preferring. In prayer, won't say much about this, but I feel like we shouldn't lose that's been a part of our history. I was taught that to address God, to speak to Him, was a privilege. And I want to give that to another in my presence, whether it's in my home or wherever it is, so that they can have that. Unfortunately, for too many years, we acted like nobody wanted to do it. It's totally the wrong perspective, but it's the art of preferring to humble ourselves, esteem others better than ourselves, but ultimately, again, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about preparing to preach. This is personal preparation. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is Sheldon's altar this morning. Again, that we go there first, that we become a living sacrifice. They ask us to talk on preparing to preach in heart, in mind, in body. Again, this will somewhat be redundant from what we've already heard. Maybe we'll just go through it quickly in a little testimony from Rod's message. But first of all, in heart, personal devotion, pray. Pray for your ministry and your other roles daily, as we've already heard. But praying to God, making your quests, casting your cares upon Him, praying for your wife and her calling, praying for your family. And I all of this might be a little bit different from Rod's, in that I want to point this toward preparation for a sermon. He's mentioned that some of that too. But praying for the congregation, those that will hear, open ears to the Holy Spirit. Praying for your message, even if you don't know where the next one is. Continually praying that He might guide us and direct us in our preparation and in our preaching. I remember one brother saying that he thought it should maybe be more prayer than preparation. Seems like a lot to me. It's not my experience exactly, but the power of prayer, I do underestimate it. We need to baptize our messages in prayer. Ask God again in prayer. Preach the preaching that I bid thee. What kind of message does He want? I like this one in Exodus. It says, Moses was called up in the mount. The Lord called Moses, come up to me into the mountain, be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. We've got to come up to Him. Come to the altar first. Bible reading. We've been through this already. I just want to reiterate, as Rod did, that we need personal devotion and not just studying for messages. Have a plan for personal devotion, but I want you to realize, like I think we all do, it doesn't always happen. We want to get back to it as soon, but sometimes when the pressure's on and the message is happening, we do get devotion. We do learn from the Word, even in preparation for a message. But I would agree with him that we have a personal Bible reading plan, whether it's a 1 year, 2 year. Somebody recently in our year has been trying a 30-day. I don't know how a minister could even do that, reading through the Bible. A 10-chapter plan recently really intrigued me, that you take 10 chapters and read them over and over through 1 month. Not only gives you a real feel for what's in there, but where it's at in the Bible. We'll get to that in a little bit too. As applies to preparation, besides daily food, it's a great source of sermon inspiration. Sorry that some of this has already been said. Memorization. Didn't go there, but memorization is something that's always profitable, even if you're not good at reciting. I've gone through seasons where I've enjoyed memorization or put more to it than others, but it seems like when I get up on my feet, it just goes. It's just not there. But that's okay, because we have the Word of God right in front of us. Maybe it's because of my pride in presenting that God smites that down. But it's always profitable. It's always in our mind when we commit it there and hide the Word of God in our heart. Again, getting scripture locations in memory too. Meditation. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, give attendance to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Meditate upon these things. We can meditate on our daily reading, our devotion. This is an area that I need growth in still. It seems like my mind gets so occupied with the day that it doesn't fly back, as A.W. Tozer always encouraged, that when it was free, that it would fly back to the Word or where we've been thinking on. But we can meditate on daily reading, on the next sermon study, on scriptures you're memorizing. That's one thing I like about memorization, is it's there, and once it's there, you can meditate on it without having to go read it to meditate on it. We're in mind now. The first two were in heart. These are in mind study. It's already been said outside of message preparation. Don't worry, it's not lost. It's always there, maybe for future reference. In body, this is an interesting one. I've always liked these words of Paul. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what are those kind of things? Well, we won't go into these, but our bodies are temples. So, and they're part of what stands before the people. If I struggle with food as stress relief, I have to continually discipline myself with food. Exercise, sleep. Maybe it's discipline that I need more sleep and just trust God that He'll provide. Or maybe I need to sacrifice a little sleep, be a living sacrifice. But our physical health does relate, the physiology of body, mind, and spirit, and all those things together. So we think of preparation in a personal way. Daily serving, live, experience. Take note. I'm very thankful for the unpaid ministry for many reasons, but one is we are all out there in the community, in the workplace, experiencing those things that the congregation is experiencing. Live that daily life. Live for the Lord. Experience. Take note. Might be good applications and illustrations God's giving you for future messages. Fasting, of course. Things that brings to us is reverence, consecration, mind sharpening. I remember Bill Mustard, I think it was last time, spoke on this subject. And he talked about the spiritual disciplines. And once every 3 or 4 weeks or whatever it is, maybe it's a weekly thing for you, one day, or even intermittent on a daily schedule where we skip a meal. Some people do that for health, but I think it can be good just having the right perspective on food. These are the things that it's taught me. Let's go on to, or we're in mind still. This has been hit on already, but I think it's so important, these verses, that we, of behavior and personal holiness. For our exhortation, our preaching was not of deceit or of uncleanness or in guile, Paul encouraged Timothy to take heed unto himself, our personal holiness, our behavior. Walk circumspectly. Behave thyself. Here are out of James, where is it? The two talk about the qualifications of a bishop. But anyway, I just pulled some words out of there and some I paraphrased. But a serious calling as we think of our behavior. Because again, we can put together the best message. We can put together, it's all choreographed just right and in presentation. But we've lost if we haven't served in these things. If we haven't allowed God to work in us and work out through us. A part of this morning's altar again. Behavior is important. Just a not too long ago, I was talking to a young brother and he was discouraged because of the behavior or the words. And I'm just going to say it this way. Of somebody in this room, and I don't mean that detrimental, because just before that, a young brother came to me of something I said. But I just know it comes close home to us, especially in the regard of young people. You know, we grow together, we have friendships, we have our comfortability, but let's be cautious. We're called to maybe even a greater level in this behavior. I remember after communion one night, I was a young brother, and I was feeling that cleansing of the blood, just feeling that closeness to the Lord. And it was even the brother that officiated. And somehow in our conversation, it was a light joke, not extremely off color, but it just didn't feel good at all. And it worked on my conscience. What can it do to a young person's conscience? We don't want to violate that in any way. Just recently, we were in discussion, a couple of us, and I saw a young person walk away. The conversation went to another person in the servant body, and the conversation went on too long in a detrimental way. But this young person's conscience, I don't know if that's the reason she walked away, but I kept seeing her looking back. I felt smitten. It's just something to think for all of us to think, because our behavior preaches as much as our messages do. You've heard it many times, our walk talks and our talk talks, but what talks louder? Our walk. You're exactly right. I grew up under a head elder that I still admire and appreciate. I don't remember a thing that he said. I don't remember a subject of a message. I do remember a poem maybe he recited. But today, decades and decades later, I still go back to his life. The life that he lived that said just conveyed a message of humility, a message of following God. It's a serious thing as we go into preparation. I rode up here with Mike Flora and Aaron Long, and Aaron was talking about Roger Gish. And not, again, so much remembering the subjects, but remembering his excitement for the Word of God every time he talked. So we convey a message far beyond our words. It can either be seen as hypocrisy when we fall away from that and turn people away from God in a little or big way, or it can be followed as truth and lead to false doctrine. Something to think about in both ways. It's a serious matter. I think we'll keep going on for the interest of time. The Lord wants godly, steadfast, faithful men preaching and leading in truth year after year after year after year after year. Let's go on to the message. Sermon preparation. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look there again, approved unto God, not approved unto men, not approved unto the latest comparison to the latest dynamic preacher out there on YouTube or whatever it is, but approved unto God. And it starts with study and then rightly dividing the word of truth. Just mention, I'll be talking mostly about topical. There's also expository. We understand the difference in there. And there's also probably other types. These are probably the two we engage in most. And I think there needs to be some of both. not only in our churches, but in our personal ministries. But on the topical side, finding subjects. I don't know about you, but that's one of my number one challenges. And I've even heard ministers talk, I think even here, that they couldn't understand that because the Bible's so full of them. And I agree, hardly, but to get inspired on something specific is a challenge for me. And so I've put a few little things in place in my life. Again, daily devotions is a good time or a good place to be thinking about that. Conversations with others. And always keep a list, whether it's a notebook or your church notebook or your phone. Just keep a list where you can write those things down as you're inspired, because later on you'll forget them unless you can go back and say, oh yeah, I remember that. I'm going to look in that a little deeper. Start opening the Word, other preaching. I have a list in the back of my note-taking book, so I can keep a list there and reference when I need something. Ask your congregation. Ask, and many times you'll get response to that. And it keeps people involved as well. Series, many of you do those. That's a good thing as far as finding a subject. And then if you find a series, it goes on and on. One of the most impactful things out of the last minister's meeting when we were here, when I was here, was the small group where an older brother encouraged us to preach series, because it always gets you started early Monday morning and you're going again, rather than this waiting and trying to find a subject all week and then cramming on Friday and Saturday and Sunday or whatever it is. A series will get you set up to begin your study quickly and feel better about it through the week. Study time. How much? I've heard anything from 1 hour per minute you're on your feet, 1 hour for every 5 minutes. Again, don't compare. Ask God. What is He calling us to? But it never seems like I'm finished. But give the time to Him. Redeem the time. Sermons are won or lost in the study. That's what I've always felt in my life, is you can't create on Sunday morning or in a speaking presentation what hasn't been put there through a time consecrated to the Lord. Nothing can overcome that time in study. Of course, the Holy Spirit can move us, and we may be called at times to just preach off the cuff or whatever. I'm not minimizing that, but God calls us to study, as we read back there, right, to rightly divide the word of truth. Have I given God the time? Has it been effective time of study, of prayer, of planning? Remember, that power is of His, but I need to avail myself. I struggle with effective time. I can be in the chair in the study, but there are so many distractions. We all know that. The internet, maybe you go to search something and then it's distractions more than I think ministers have ever experienced, possibly. But the same power dwells with us, and we can resist those. Other good things even, but our calling is to put the time in. I remember one brother encouraging to keep your study and your office separate. That's harder and harder, as our offices come down to this one little thing many times, and we use them for both study and for work or whatever it is. But it's good to think about, as much as we can separate and try to focus our minds on our study time and redeem that time. We're taking that time away from our family sometimes. If I'm in there dilly-dallying and going off on rabbit trails, am I respecting my family? Am I loving them? I'm not preaching down to anybody. These are things I struggle with continually. I've had to stay out of the lazy boy. The lazy boy doesn't work for study for me. I have to sit on a chair at a desk to make it effective. Redeeming the time. Because the thief wants to steal, wants to kill, and wants to destroy. A little more on study time. Let's realize that it might change our hobbies and interests. And I'm sorry to tell those of you who have been called, but you know, there's a lot of things I would like to, that's a downfall of mine. I have so many interests. I'd like to know how to grill better, and I'd like to know how to do all these things better. but I know they'll take away time from my calling as a minister of the word. So we might have to give those things up. Again, we're called to be living sacrifices, to put those things on the altar. It's been gone over well, but family, there's an 80-some-year-old brother in our district who says that the day his dad was elected to the ministry was the day he lost his dad. Thankfully, he says it with love, and he says it with great faith, and he holds no, he's one of the good stories. But it's real. I think we all know that. I remember the day I was elected, another brother, a contemporary, said, "You know what, Tim?" He said, "If it comes to it, you just read a chapter, and we'll all learn together with you rather than stealing too much time from your family." So I know everybody says that, and I've often want to call the people that have told me that on Saturday night and say, "Now, what does that mean? Can you put some shoe leather to what that encouragement?" But it is real, and we need to keep that paramount, as already been said. Too many preacher kid horror stories. It's okay, again, to include family. Make them realize there is some sacrifice. That's the flip side of that. I've always tried and failed in it many times, but to get them involved in finding subjects or what they're thinking about, be careful in preaching about them. Get their permission. I had four brothers, and my dad said, I was talking to one of my sons, and we knew we had 25% chance, but then it got closer, and it might be about me, but be careful in those areas. Be careful with time, the temptation for perfection in a message. We can succumb to peer pressure and pride, and it can be detrimental because we spend too much time possibly. We know there's a balance in all things, but we're taking time away from family because we have to get it perfect. When all God calls us to is responding and ministering to him, he will provide. I know we're saying things on both sides, but that's where we find just resting in him. We have to find our direction. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. This is a calling to each one of us as ministers. And I get so entangled so easily, whether it's business or hobby or whatever it is. But you and I have been called to be soldiers, to be messengers, to be ministers. And we want to be focused on that. Let's talk about sources a little bit. Where we find our information. You know where we'll end up here. But just to start, be careful with Google. Know where you are. There's been times when I've been studying something and searching online for it, and I look up and I'm, you know, the Church of Latter-day, Church in Christ of Latter-day Saints, or whatever it is. And not to say you can't find something that is biblical there, but just know where you're at. Wikipedia, remember, that's built by people. It can say anything that they want to put on there. It's not really, it's managed somewhat. Now we have AI. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you do a search and all of a sudden this blue text shows up and it's really just pulling from anywhere out there. Be careful with those kind of things. It's not that the computer and the internet can be used for good, but know where you're at. Watch the sources there. I think I'll say right there, I remember a brother just kind of at the advent of the computer cautioning us on how easy it is in some ways to put together a message by just cutting and pasting. And we all know that. You've got a Bible app. You've got an illustration, website of illustrations or whatever, and suddenly we just copy and paste, and we lack in meditation, we lack in thought, we lack in depth. We put it together and just run through it. How much value is that? Let's be careful. Let's put in the time and the prayer and asking God to mold that message to what he wants it to be. Commentaries are good, but again, let's remember those are man's writing. There's, Matthew Henry's one I so appreciate, I think, just because my mind not works on his level, but in a similar way for some reason. But let's not preach his message or anybody else's message. It's good to prompt thoughts and to get us going, but always coming back to the word. Concordances for searches and dictionaries. Again, many of those time are online, but the value. But nothing like the pure word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable in all those areas we know that we can be thoroughly furnished. We don't need anything else. There can be good things, and I think it's fine to use them. But let's remember to always go back to the pure Word of God. I think I wanted to say there. It might have been later in my notes. We'll wait on that. Illustrations. Don't feel pressure. Some of the most inspiring ministers, for me, don't use any. So don't feel pressure for that, but also don't feel guilt. Jesus used illustrations, and sometimes they help an application come home. An allegory or an illustration or a story. Somehow they connect. Have you ever noticed that? You're standing before a crowd, and you begin preaching, and the Word of God is shared, and everybody starts wandering somewhat, but you start telling a story, and it quiets down, and everybody hones in. We don't want messages full of those, but they can be effective to point people to truth, to make a representation. I've always struggled with them because they felt like time not productive in the Word. Another brother I know that enjoys that time to find something that will really drive that point home. So I like to have good, quick, searchable sources, so some of those can be a part. But again, don't compare. Ask God and follow. Life application. Important. We need listeners to be able to take home applications to employ in their lives. We like to hear good theological and even glory messages that glorify God, even theological messages. People can extrapolate life application from that, but it's good for us to think about where each person's at. Think about the needs of the current day. And it doesn't even have to be explicit. In fact, sometimes it's better if it's not explicit because each one of us have different challenges. Each one of us have different perspectives. But to lay it out there and maybe even be vulnerable, certainly be vulnerable with your own life and experience so people can realize that your challenge in this area you're preaching about and that there's life application that each one of us needs as well as possibly the congregation. We'll keep going quickly here. Assembling message. This is where I wanted it. Putting the message together. Scripture first. That's important to me. I had a brother, I remember when I was first elected, and he said his study was a lot in a commute, that he drove to work every day and home, and he just had a meditation time, and then he would come home and find scripture that fit with that. And I don't want to do any discredit. I still respect him today, but I decided then that's not how I wanted to do it. I wanted to go to the Word first. Go to the Word and let that speak to me. Let the Word teach you, and then work with it. We were in design school. We were taught to, whether it was designing a logo or anything else or a name or whatever it is, just to throw all your ideas down on the page, just to get everything down and then go through them and make connections. And I like to do that with sermon preparation. Just go through and do a word study or do a concept study or whatever it is and just throw it down on the page and then go back through it and allow God and the Holy Spirit just to mold that message. It may come out far different than you ever thought when you started. Allow that to happen. Allow God it to be God's message. Keep moving here. Notes. Once again, don't compare. I've enjoyed sitting by many of you and realizing that everybody does it differently, and there's no right or wrong way. Somebody has a few sticky notes, paste it together. Somebody has several to flip through. For me, it has to be a single page, but that's just how I am. Because beyond that, I get too deep in it. Learn how to outline. Even if you're not giving a specific outline, outline for your own purpose and your thoughts to move through it. To give structure to study and delivery. An outline is just simply an introduction. Tell them, this is important too, tell them what you're going to say. And then say it, and then tell them what you said. It does so much for people in their minds to think about, okay, here's what we're going to be hearing about, to hear the full message, and then to recap, and people can retain that. Doesn't happen every time. Certainly, expository is not necessarily that. Don't feel pressure. We're just giving tips and things to think about. Triplets are good. Things of three. Don't have too much material. An old brother said that to me one time in the presence of my wife, and she's never forgotten it. And I hear it often, but it is real. We don't need as much as we think sometimes, and can go over time so easily. Simplify the message. Sometimes it takes more study to condense a message down, but it's worth it. Have you seen that paradox in your study? It takes more time to condense that down, but it's worth that time instead of going on and on and on and over time. Again, we all know about expository. There's a gift. There's a positive in that. Scripture's your outline. That's one nice thing about it. But don't let that minimize the time digging into that word, digging into the root meanings of those words and learning from the Lord. I like it because it forces you to address all subjects as you come to them. There's some verses or chapters possibly we like to steer away from, but if you're going through a series of a book, it forces you to go right through some of those scriptures. And then sermon delivery, nothing much here. We'll be finished in a minute, but now that you've put the time in study, it's time to stand and deliver. He charges us, therefore, to preach the word. First of all, trust the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you feel going to church. My wife asks me that a lot of times, and it's a question I don't ever know how to answer. I don't ever feel very good. But even this concept of laying in bed at night, I think about preaching to 100 people or 400 or whatever it is, and it just seems impossible. But the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in first person is an amazing faith builder that I know you experience, and I do too. And so trust that for the future. Stay open and flexible to his movings. As we're delivering even, be malleable, be willing to go off text. I wish often that I didn't have any notes, that I could retain enough just to, and maybe I should be more trusting in that. But if you feel called, maybe rabbit trails, there can be too many. And watch our time, no doubt. But stay open to his movings, even on your feet. There's no flex or no substitute for study and then the power of the Holy Spirit. I've, because of lack of study time, sometimes tried even drama or enthusiasm or something to overcome. We want real, true Holy Spirit fever, not something I cooked up of myself to just overcome a lack of notes. Honoring time schedule. This one's a hard one for me. You know, there's two sides of it. I wish sometimes we were all just open to the Holy Spirit and we could stay all afternoon if that's the way the Spirit directed. And there's something for each one of us to learn in that as well. But we remember what happened with the longest sermon in the Bible. Eutychus fell asleep, didn't he, and fell out. There's a purpose in that, but we need to honor and be respectful of wives and cooks and other plans when there's been a specified time frame, and I need to do that right now. So be careful. Again, not too much material. Oftentimes, less is more, and more to remember, or easier to remember. Physical presentation, be conscious of our countenance. How does the Word of God look? How does it even look with the minister sitting up front? If everybody is just in a relaxed frown, what's that convey? Look at the congregation. I don't want to put any pressure on anyone, but there is a value in interaction. And if we can't look directly at them, which is fine, but try to find somewhere close or above heads or whatever it is so that there feels like an interaction. I've been in situations where someone was looking out this window and then looking out that window, and that's okay, and we have to grow into some of those kind of things. I thankfully have realized that there's a real strengthening in connection and getting feedback from people in the audience, and sometimes you find them, as I am now, and you can jump to one to the other. Also going back and forth and making everybody feel included. Again, no pressure, especially to you young ones. Maybe that takes time to develop. But I think there's a relationship between speaker and congregation that needs to be considered as we present for the Lord's glory. So in conclusion, unitedly prepare the message to deliver. The theme verse, go and teach. We just want to encourage each one of us, to you who are young in age or young in ministry, to the middle age, to the older. Just want to encourage you young ministers. We're thankful, so thankful you're here. I hope there's no discouragement, especially from what I've been putting forth. But again, just open up. There's so much experience and even wisdom to be learned from here. And people understanding where you're at and just beginning. Remember this, it's one day at a time. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. When I first was elected to the ministry, I remember distinctly trying to strap 30 years on my back and look and figure all that out. And I couldn't even move. I fell to the ground with that and realized we're going to have to do this thing one day at a time as he leads us. I want to share an illustration or a story to you young ministers or younger ministers. My dad was elected at a fairly young age. We thought he was old then, but it doesn't look that way now. But he had an older brother right here in the front who was a theologian, a study of prophecy, and just loved the Word of God. And it was a smaller congregation, and he just planted right there. And so Dad had to stand up close to him at the end of the table and preach. And finally, he just went to him one time, and he said, "Sam, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. You know so much more than I do. You know the Word of God, frontward and backward, and I'm supposed to stand up and preach." And Sam just told him, he said, "You just feed the lambs and us old sheep will get something." And so I just want to share that with you. And for all of us, we don't have to be deep and theological every time. Continue to study, continue to grow, but just feed the lambs. That's what Jesus called us to, didn't he? Feed the lambs. And the old sheep will get something. To those middle-aged, just keep plugging. We've heard many times that this is the draft horse time of the ministry, and it can become overwhelming. But let's lean on each other and especially on the Lord and be faithful. And to your older ones, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing in the ministry. And I know even sometimes you feel frail and that my thoughts don't come together, but when you make even attempts, or when I see you preparing messages and not just standing up and going from memory or something like that, I'm not getting my thoughts clear there, but just your effort and your faithfulness and your leadership in all those areas, still studying, still leading, still mentoring those of us coming on behind. We just pray this was an encouragement to all, that we all could stir up the gift of God which is in us by the putting on of hands. Each one of us has been there. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the source of all that. He will provide. So go forth from this place preaching the preaching that God bids you. May God bless us all. Yeah, we can bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we still feel weak, but that's where we want to be before thee, Lord. Just lead us humbly. Thank you for your caring over our hearts and each ministry represented here from the youngest to the oldest, Lord. Just lead us gently as a shepherd. Just pray for what's been given here that it would not be discouraging, that we could talk about things together, that you would bring things out even this afternoon, Lord. Just be sovereign over these whole meetings. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to minister together, to be together this week, and to minister in servant bodies back at home. Guide us together. Keep us in your care and love to God, love divine. Finally, we long for that day when we'll be around thy throne forever and ever, glorifying your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.